Turn in your notes to conflict case study on marriage, page 41. Let me introduce to you Jordan and M. Bray. Jordan was he's been at Faith Church for quite a long time. I don't know exactly the dates. It's not like he grew up here, but he's been here for a while. Ultimately, he went into our seminary, Faith Bible Seminary, and he wanted to become a pastor. Dustin did your pre-marriage counseling, and they got married here at Faith. Jordan and M began working here. Jordan was an intern, worship intern. M was working also at VOH. And during the course of the seminary experience, post-marriage, post their wedding, they were just struggling with conflict. And so during my time, when I was overseeing the interns in the last cohort, Janet and I began to just counsel Jordan and M in regard to the conflicts that they were experiencing. So I knew I was going to do a conflict case study. I also knew that I had given to you guys conflict resolution. That was on Monday. On Monday, I did a conflict resolution on married couples, and I talked about the couple that, you know, that $10 for the grocery store, and and one of them ended up almost in the police station. That's not Jordan and Em. Okay. That's not Jordan and Em. But the conflict dynamic is the same, and when Janet and I were counseling Jordan and Em, and I was assigned to do a case study here, I asked them if they would be willing to share their testimony. In your notes on page 41, they're called John and Mary. And since I wrote this, I had asked them, okay, instead of just having me do all the talking, could Jordan and M actually come and talk? And they were graciously willing to share their baggage, okay, with you. The shame of their nakedness is fully exposed to you. But they're covered in Christ's righteousness right now, and for your learning's sake, they're willing to share part of their story. So the introduction here on your notes, they're going to kind of cover A, B, and C, and the kinds of things that they were struggling with, okay? So they're going to share that part of it, and then I'm going to come back and talk to you about where do we start in a counseling case study of conflict. Then they'll come back and share some additional things that they were helped by. I will share some additional things, and then they'll come and tell you how they're doing now. Currently, Jordan is not on staff here. He graduated and he went to Pastor Nick Lee's church, Harvest Bible Chapel in Des Moines, in Grimes, Iowa, suburb of Des Moines. Pastor Nick Lee was a pastor here as well for quite a while also, and Jordan went to be their worship pastor. So Jordan and them are dear friends of mine and blessed friends of this church. So let's start with hearing your story. You got the microphone and you got your notes.
Well, good evening, everyone. As Brent said, my name is Jordan, and this is my wife, Em. During my time at Faith as a pastoral intern and seminary student, we needed some extra help in our marriage. We sought marriage counseling because we were having trouble solving problems together without bickering. The little everyday decisions that we needed to make as married couple turned into drawn-out arguments where both of us struggled to understand each other and ultimately fought to be heard rather than to listen and learn where the other person was coming from.
Before counseling, the typical pattern of how our conflicts went usually began with a problem. Now, a problem doesn't start out as a conflict necessarily. A problem is something that caused uncertainty, difficulty, or hardship.
Press pause. Have you heard that somewhere before? Okay, thank you. I thought so.
When faced with scheduling conflicts, miscommunication, or budgeting decisions, rather than working together as a team, we struggled to see past our own interests. We made the situation more about gratifying our fleshly desires.
In these moments, my prideful fear of man and desire for approval from others typically manifested in passive aggression or immediate verbal self-defense when I felt disrespected or looked down on. We just learned about self-righteous counselees.
And this is a spontaneous question. Do you know what you mean by passive aggressive?
Yes, for me that meant getting quiet and not saying a word until either she said something or honestly that was it. I would just kind of go into my shell. And with that, I don't think I would have articulated this, but I was kind of, in my mind, holding the power by not saying anything.
And then at one point, if you did speak out, it would be pretty attacking or defensive or aggressive. Okay, so pulling aside, not talking, and then when he did talk, it would be pretty intense.
At the same time, my pride in wanting control and ease typically manifested in anger or unkind speech when I felt inconvenienced. While each conflict typically started small, they grew once neither of us felt like our side was being understood and neither of us were ready to humble ourselves. Ultimately, neither of us believed the best in the other person and felt like we could not go on until we got what we wanted.
In those moments, my heart was saying, we cannot solve the problem until I feel respected and loved.
And my heart was saying, we cannot solve this problem until I feel assured that I will have ease.
So one of the conflicts we faced together in counseling was the issue of forgetting our car. So as I was in seminary, as Brent mentioned, Em was working here at VOH, and I was actually working at Faith's West Campus over in West Lafayette. And we would meet for small group every Tuesday night just up the road, 550, in one of our small group members' homes. And so we would typically meet together here at the church for dinner. And then most days we're like, well, it'd be weird to drive separate to small group. It's right up the road. So let's ride together. And we just need to remember to pick up our car on the way home, since West Lafayette is quite a ways away. On one of the days when I suggested we ride together, Em, after having a long day and knowing small group would get out late, said, yes, but we have to remember to get my car on our way home. I agreed, and we went to small group.
After small group, we began driving straight home, and it wasn't until we were almost home that I noticed the keys in my hand, and I said, we forgot the car. We both knew in that moment that we had to turn around because we would be driving in separate directions in the morning. This problem could be solved without sinning, but...
No way.
Yeah, I know, amazing. But both of us gave in to our idols immediately. My first response was to say, we cannot keep letting this happen.
My response was to remain silent and ignore every ounce of wisdom that was coming to my mind, and instead speak up when I prepared a defense and responded with, well, it's not like this has been a pattern. Neither of us were considering the other person and seeking to solve the problem.
In my pride, I was offended because I had lost control of the situation, in which the best scenario, in my mind, would have been for us to remember the car and save us from the inconvenience so that we could go home and rest for the next day. I wanted the gratification of knowing that this inconvenience would never happen again.
In my pride, I realized that I had made a mistake that would cost both of us hardship. And when I realized that Em was upset, I wanted understanding that my mistake was not that bad and that I was still deserving of respect. Rather than working together to find a solution to the issue of forgetting the car, that was the problem, the conflict escalated as we were both operating out of our selfish desires.
Thank you guys for that. So go ahead and have a seat for just a moment. I'll bring you back up in just a moment. So whether it's the $10 for the grocery store or the scheduling of the event, when I talked to you about the second case study a little bit on Monday as well, the scheduling of Wednesday night where the wife said, can I not go tonight? Or whether it's leaving your car in the parking lot and when you would promise to not forget. So those are the problems of life, okay? We talked about that on Monday, the problems of life that cause difficulty, uncertainty. This one ended in conflict. Now, Jordan, I'm thankful, is not in jail. And so we're thankful for that. But it ended up in conflict. And on these kinds of things, Jordan and Em struggled a bit. A good portion of these kinds of difficulties in life would begin to stimulate conflicts in their marriage. So little problems of life, and they're not so little, but these kinds of issues in life would begin to cause all kinds of issues in their life. So look at Roman numeral number 2, where to start. With Jordan and Em, they have been around Faith for a little while. They also know a good portion of what we teach around here. So numbers 1 and 2 probably were not as significant in our counseling as they would be with folks who were not as well taught as Jordan and him. So the character of God.